Welcome. Today we're going to shine a spotlight on the life of this church, and today is a day in which I'm making an invitation. I'm asking you a question to this community. Do you want to join in for another year? If you're a guest with us today, then you're most welcome. I'm very, very glad to see you. You'll excuse us if we do focus on ourselves for the next half an hour or so. Last year we adopted this motto: love God, love people, love in action. And some friends sent me an email recently, and they said this: the Vineyard isn't the sort of church you can just go to on a Sunday and not get especially involved in. I take that as a great compliment. So we're going to look at getting involved. So shall we pray? Father, I thank you for your call on our lives to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with you. I thank you for the way you've been showing us this truth of how we need to realign with you and how you have plans for us. Thank you for those plans you've got for us. And help us to understand them and to align our lives with you. Thank you for everything you've given us and the opportunity to give back to you. We're just wonderfully grateful recipients of all you've given us. Thank you for the challenge and the power you give us to live out our daily lives in a way that reflects this scripture. And we ask you this morning to be with us as we think about how we do it as a community and what we're going to be involved in. May we hear your voice and feel your nudge as we set off into the next year. In Jesus' name, amen. The phrase love God, love people, love in action is an active one. Active as opposed to passive. We're a group of people on a mission, a kingdom mission. We have a direction of travel and a purpose to our existence. And my invitation today is to check that we're all in roughly the same direction and going in the same commitment with the same purpose in mind. It isn't about doing lots of things. It isn't about stacking up road to commitments, late nights, early starts, energy-sapping meetings, hard graft, lugging kit around. It isn't about that. And I apologize if you've been on the receiving end of invitations to take part on a never-ending basis. That comes out of an enthusiasm to get on with the job and to do it really well and to involve people and everybody gets to play. So if you've been over-invited, forgive us. Just say no. That's fine. We've got to get balance into our lives. It's just like Jesus. There is time to work and to earn our keep, and then there's a time to be restful and to be still. There's a time with family and friends, and especially friends who don't know Jesus. And then there's time to get on with doing the stuff, as we call it. I think we have to fight for stillness in this world, because everything out there demands our attention minute by minute. We're commanded to develop a lifestyle. Jesus commands us to develop a lifestyle which does have rhythm and rest. Annual holidays, weekend breaks, a day off a week, a proper day off a week, breaks during the course of your working day. The rhythm of life is something that God builds into us and into creation, and we need to honor that and work with it. That's why next Sunday, we don't meet. Next Sunday is a fifth Sunday in the month. So on a weekend where there's a fifth Sunday in the month, we don't plan anything. It's a weekend off. So rest. Spend time with your friends. Go and see your grandma. Wash your car, please. Don't come here, because we won't be here. In August, we take a complete break. We don't have any house groups or any Sunday. We do other things. I mean, there's lots of social activity, but we don't have a regular planned events as an opportunity just to break the cycle, to create a rhythm of rest. When it comes to our kingdom mission, though, we all have a part to play. Every single one of you have a part to play. Some of you are sitting there thinking, not me, you don't know me, David. I can't do this, and you wouldn't want me anyway. I do. We do. Everybody has a part to play in this. Everybody gets to play. Some are visible and loud. Some are quiet and in the background. It can all be neatly summed up in that scripture: do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. So I'm asking you a question, which reminds me of a little story about three vineyard pastors on a healing on the streets thing. And they should have been praying for people, but they were chatting. And there was one from Oxford and one from Surrey and one from Yorkshire. And a pollster came up to them and said, excuse me, what's your interest in the what's your opinion of the bread shortage? And the pastor from Oxford said, well, depends what you mean by an opinion. The pastor from Surrey said, what's the shortage? The pastor from Yorkshire said, what's excuse me? So I'm trying to politely ask you a question. In courtesy, do you want to join in? Now, I need some help. Guys, could you grab the box with the blue cards in? You might need Chris. Could you give a hand? And Anthony, could you give a hand? I'd like you all to take at least one, if not two, three, or four of these blue cards. They look like this. Okay. They fold in half, and you can either tear them in half, or I think the scissors outside when you get onto the street to help you tear them. And these are an opportunity for you to respond to the invitation to take part in this family's life over the next year. This applies, I'd like you to do this even if there's no change. So if you're already doing something and you want to carry on doing it, please fill it in. Please do what I'm going to encourage you to do with it, because it's going to be extremely encouraging for the people on the receiving end. There are three parts to this card. Okay? Prayer, support, and serving. Now, you may just love to pray. You may be somebody who loves to pray and fast. It's what you can do. You have a gift for it. We're all called to pray, but for some, it's more of a gift and a calling than for others. And God invites us to pray. He calls us to pray. He asks us to discern his will and then pray into it. And he loves to answer our prayers. So praying is a fantastic and crucial part of being part of this family. Now, it starts with praying at home. Those of you, we should all be praying, but those of you particularly want to support in prayer, pray at home, first of all. If we could leave those spare ones highly visible, because people will need to take them on the way out. They're all right there in the box. So you could pray at home, or maybe you're somebody who you should express your prayer by praying for other people, one-on-one, or out in the streets, or here on a Sunday, or in your house group. Maybe you're somebody who can facilitate prayer meetings and get people together to pray and to encourage and to inspire prayer. Maybe you're somebody who's great on going to the website and doing the prayer forum, which is a really wonderful way of praying. Prayer is really important. The second thing is support. Some of us are restricted in our ability to get out and about and lift heavy loads. Some of us have other priorities. Alison's priority at the moment is looking after her parents. Some of you just at the beginning of a career, and your priority is studying and getting your exams done. Some of you are in debt, and your priority is working extra to pay off the debt. So I'm not imposing this on everybody, but for some of you, you haven't got a huge amount of time or physical ability. Maybe you don't like crowds, or you get stressed by certain things. Absolutely fine. There's still a part for you to play. You may be one of the prayers. You may be a generous giver, but it may be that you are somebody who can make a phone call to a team leader and encourage them. Maybe you can send an email saying, I'm praying for you. Maybe you can write cards of thank yous. Thank you for leading worship this Sunday. Thank you for what you do with the kids. Thank you for doing that funeral. Maybe you can bake a cake for one of the teams. Or you could babysit for when, especially the leaders who need to get to meetings and stuff more than usual. Maybe you can babysit for them to help them out. You see what I mean? So there's ways you can support without having to go into a rota and having to lift heavy loads. And then there's, pardon me, and then there's serving. We would dearly love you to find somewhere to serve which fits really closely with your passions and your giftings. That would be fantastic. But if not, I hope you would find somewhere to serve anyway, in the knowledge that you're contributing towards the way this church seeks to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Some will have a capacity to do one thing once a month. Fantastic. Others carry more of a workload or more of a responsibility, and that's okay. Just make sure you keep your life, that you have balance, that you do a good job, that you take time to rest and be still and to pray. Okay? Can we do the same exercise with the yellow cards this time? Here come the yellow cards. They look like this. Very similar. And this is to do with money and giving. Again, you may already be giving. Please just repeat what you were doing already, unless this is the time to review and to rethink what you're doing. Doing church costs money. Remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at that verse in Micah, with what shall I come before the Lord? And we discovered that giving starts with receiving. We've been given hugely by God, not just wealth and financially, but in friends and in beauty and in opportunity and primarily in his saving acts. You only need one of these. So we gather as a community. That's part of our conviction, is that we're not to do this on our own. We're meant to be in a community together, called the church, to love God, love people, put love into action. Action costs money. So whether we're paying wages or renting premises or buying food or taking stuff to the poor or whatever we're doing, it all costs money. So as a group together, as the Lord individually provides for us, we honor him by giving to this community, so we can get on and do what he's called us to do. This is what it says in Malachi 3:10. This is a Message translation. Bring your full tithe, that's generally speaking understood as 10%, to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. I'm not particularly legalistic about the 10%. I think it's between you and God. Go to him and say, what do you want me to? I love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've given me. What can I give you as a token of my love? What can I put into the coffers of the church? And it could be 10%. It could be 20%. It might be less. But it's up to you, between you and him. Use these orange cards to indicate what you plan to give in the next year. Even if you're already doing it, please tell us what you plan to do in the next year. Put your details in the back so if you pay tax, so that we can get gift aid. Every pound you give, with gift aid, we get another 25 pence, so it's well worth it. Now, what we're going to do is at the end, when we have communion together, I'd like you to fill that in by then, so you may want to start work on this now. There's pens, I think, around on the tables. And as we take communion, as part of your offering, as part of your thanksgiving, as part of the act of worship, I'd like you to take one half of the card, keep the other half, and see those, the pictures on the front of the tables where the communion tables are. Those are envelopes. They're only held on by blue tack, so be careful, but slide it in there, then it's confidential. And the only people who see this information would be Anne and Helen and occasionally me. Neither the giving nor the offers of prayer or support or service, none of that is contractual. They are not an obligation. It's an indication to help us to plan. It's very matter of fact. I know people's circumstances change, and no one is going to hold you to this if things change in the course of the year, but it will help us to see the way ahead. Many of you are already giving, serving, praying, supporting. This is an opportunity for you to rethink that and review what the Lord's called you to do. And you may, I imagine most people just carry on as they already do, but some people may want to change or to do something new. If you don't pray, support, give, serve, and this is a time for you to think, well, maybe I want to get involved here, I want to join in, then please use these cards to indicate what part you would like to play, and we can help you make it happen. I'm inviting you to join in with the life and mission of this community of faith to the extent that you would like to, and us maintaining a balance to your life. I'm inviting you to play your part in making a difference. Join a people who want to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with their God. Now, many of you have got imagination for all sorts of things. And if I had a couple of hours, I could share with you just a few of the things we'd love to do and some of our dreams. But for now, I want to describe what goes on already and what we feel committed to for the coming year or years. But your response is really important to me and to us, because frankly, it will reveal whether we have the resources to fulfill the plans. You see, if from the responses I get, the things we can see that things are on track and we're all joining in enthusiastically and giving generously, then we crack on. If not, we'll stop and rethink. This is a really important exercise. It's an exercise of worship, it's an exercise of recommitment, it's an exercise of planning. There's seven main areas we want to focus on. I know there's some other things as well, but there's seven main ones that we want to focus on today, if that's okay. And I'm going to just run through them quickly. And then what I'd like you to do with these the blue cards, is take one or more, depending on how many things you want to be involved in, and fill them in with something you would pray for, or something you might support, or something you serve in, a separate one for each area, and then I'll tell you what to do with it in a minute. First of all, administration. Now, some people are just good at making things happen. They can organize, they can manage the finances, they can plan, they can communicate, they can explain things. Frankly, without people who do good administration, most of what we try and do wouldn't happen. Think of this. Somebody has to order the coffee. Somebody has to organize it for it to be delivered here. Without coffee, nothing would happen. Great. Someone's got to ensure the website has up-to-date information, useful information, like when the end of the world is coming. Someone has to connect the people who need furniture with the people who can deliver it from our store. Are you good at administration? Are you good on the phone? Do you have skills in IT or graphic design? Spreadsheets? Maybe you'd be happy to do something like the kids' boxes each week need cleaning hygienically to make them safe for the next week. Maybe that's something you could easily do. Just examples. Some of the work requires muscle power as well as a smile and a cheerful disposition. There's all sorts of things on a Sunday here. Welcome, refreshments, resources. Sorry, I've skipped. I want to just talk about house groups first. House groups and small groups. These are the heart of the church. This is where our heartbeat is. And that's where most of the healing takes place. That's where most of the personal growth takes place. So you could pray for the leaders. You could babysit when they need to go for training, or when someone's taking a friend to Alpha, you could babysit so they can be free to take the friend. You could act as a host or a social secretary for a small group. Maybe you'd like to go on a training track to learn how to lead. Then we've got events, bigger groups like this thing here, or a week last Saturday we had that fantastic celebration at the St. George's, the Vineyard National Celebration. They all need prayer, and on a Sunday here there's a group that meet at 10 o'clock before we start to pray for us. But they also require a lot of hard work and an early start and a late finish. It takes about 35 people, Eric tells me, to run Sunday mornings here. On the other hand, it's a lot of work, a lot of fun working alongside friends and getting something done. It's very satisfying. There's welcome, there's refreshments, there's resources, there's setup, there's PA, AV, resources table. Lots of scope. Another area is worship and creativity generally. We love to give space to creativity. The most frequent expression of that for us is music and worship, but there's others as well, for example. If you're creative, there's bound to be somewhere where you can join in, bound to be. Perhaps leading worship in a small group or for Vineyard Kids, perhaps teaching children to dance or painting during worship times. If you served here for a while, you're welcome to audition for one of the Sunday bands. Lots of scope for joining in. Then there's families, children, young people, their parents. The young people and the children are a significant part of life here in this family. There are some 60 children and young people out there usually on a Sunday. There are house groups for teenagers. Friday Night Project is the youth group. Vibe is a singing group. Belly Buttons runs every Friday morning for parents and babies. If you bring children to the Vineyard, we kindly ask you to join in loving them and in caring for them and ministering to them. But whether or not you bring children, that might be an area for which you can pray or support. Or you can encourage people, do the babysitting thing, or make a cake. Or maybe you've got a gifting to see God in action amongst children. I get a continuous stream of reports from people about the wonderful things God is doing amongst the children and young people out there. So join in. Get in on the act. Then the final two things are reach out and the vine. They're different. But reach out That's like a pastoral thing. It's like a discipleship thing. It's how we turn ourselves from always looking inside to looking out. What we do here together is great, and in house groups is fantastic. It's a very important part of learning to follow Jesus and to worship him. But we have super good news, which we're not to keep to ourselves. So we want to share the love of Jesus with loads of people, near and far, in lots of practical ways. From running Alpha courses to decorating people's houses, to taking the food and the drink and prayer to people on the street, to we do acts of kindness in our communities. We send teams overseas on mission. There's two going this year, one to Latvia shortly and one to South Africa in the summer. Our aim is for our lives to be ones that reach out as well as reach in. And that's somewhere where everybody can play a part, however small. Separate from that is the vine. I alluded to the fact we had a fantastic meeting on Tuesday evening about this. The vine is a separate, though linked, charity which we've established as a sort of bridge-building entity, where we think we are called to enter onto a major project which might take extra funding or external funding, say, or staff or premises or something like that, then it might be appropriate for it to go into the vine. It has its own trustees, who are all Vineyard people, and its own finances, and it will do its own, those separate, though related things. And the project at the moment, the one that's up and running, we prayed about earlier, is the debt counselling. Fantastic. People who go for help with debt counselling are in dire circumstances by the time they get to that point. And this ministry provides a huge opportunity to help people and see the grace of God affected in people's lives. You know, being badly in debt can wreck your life, can wreck your marriage, can wreck your health. So when we provide this service, where it's a very practical outworking of that scripture about setting the captive free. Well, on the runway, not yet quite taken off, is a child contact center. What this is where families break up and the breakup is so bad that the parents aren't talking to each other. A judge or a court or a lawyer will force them to get together so that they've got access to the children. Usually the father is denied access, so there'll be a court order. And the child contact center is a safe place where that can be made to happen. So typically a mum will turn up with a child. She'll leave the child with a helper and the toys. She'll go off and have a cup of coffee upstairs in the Vineyard Center if we did it there. Dad comes a few minutes later. He spends an hour with the kid playing with the toys. We don't get involved. We just facilitate it. And then when the hour's gone, he legs it. And she picks up the child and goes. That's all it is. But it's an opportunity to restore relationship for broken families and for especially where children are being separated from one of their parents. Now, both the debt counseling and is that not a... We see the damage done by separated families like that. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to feed into? To be able to just provide an hour when a dad can see his kid. Both the debt counselling, the debt advice, and the child contact centre has got lots of scope for volunteer help. It doesn't have to be hugely demanding, but lots of things that people can do in both of those areas. So that's another area where you can play, where you can have a part to play. So which of these provides you with an opportunity to pray, to support, to serve? Take a blue card or several. There's loads down here. You can pick them up on your way out. Write down the details of the part you'd like to play and take it to the relevant table outside. I don't know if you noticed, but there's seven sets of tables outside where each of those areas has got people and resources there. And what I really want to happen is that if you feel that let's say you want to pray for the children, okay, and the families and for Hannah and the work she does there, take your blue card and write on it, I'll pray for the family. I'll pray for the Vineyard kids. I'll pray for you. And hand it over. If she collects a few of those, imagine how encouraging that is for her. Or if you want to join the team that go out on the Saturday morning to minister to the big issue sellers, take your card, write on it, I will serve by going on the road. I can do this once a month, say, once every 3 months, once a week, whatever it is. And take it to the reach out table and hand it over. Or if maybe you're somebody who's, you're a bit nervous about doing things, but you're very happy to babysit for kids. So you say to somebody in the at the Vine, somebody who's going to go and visit some of the debt counselling, going on a debt counselling visit with Gwen, I'll babysit for you while they go. And you write it on there and hand it over. And even if this is stuff that you're already doing and you already plan to do, write it down and hand it over, because it'll be so encouraging for those people to have a stack of blue cards, knowing that you support them and are with them and are going to serve and to pray for them. If you need to know more, they'll be glad to talk and you can chat with them. Okay, does that make sense? Have I explained that enough?
So each thing's meant to be on a different card.
Yes, please. Yes. That's why you may need three or four cards, depending on how many things you want to be involved in. You might just want to do one card.
You know, you said about the prayer thing that's on the website. Where does that come in there?
Just if you're going to pray, maybe you're somebody who can regularly contribute on the website, and you'll think about kids or reach out or whatever it is. Just let them know that you can do that. And then just go onto the website, open up a prayer forum, and start praying. And people will join in with you, and it'll be like a prayer blog. This will be a recommitment for some. It'll be a step change for some, I think. And for those of you who are not yet involved but want to be, this will be the start, a new decision. So, on the assumption that we're on track and we're going to crack on, shall we meet back here again in a year's time? Okay? And see if the years look like this. Perhaps we've, helped some people get out of debt. Given parents a place to meet their children, sent some people to minister overseas, prayed for the sick, fixed some people's gardens, taken refreshments and friendships to guys on the street, seen children experience the power and the presence of God in their lives and coming to know Jesus. Will we have enjoyed some time celebrating together and learning and worshiping, expressed ourselves in creative ways? We'll have been in this small group where we've gone on a journey about learning about ourselves and growing in our following of Jesus, getting to be understood by others and learning to know others. Seeing people decide to follow Jesus and baptize them, and doing it all as good stewards in an organized, legal, and compliant way, staying in the black. Should we do that? Would you like to come back in a year's time and review things? Is this of interest to you? In a few moments, the children are going to come in and join us. We'll share communion together and in the red room this month. And as we share communion, I'd love you to take the orange card, as I said, and indicate how you plan to give in the coming year. It's not an obligation, it's just an indication to help us plan how you plan to give. And when you come forward or go to one of the tables, slip the card in the envelope. Be careful not to knock it off. Let's look at our theme text again for this year. With what shall I come before the Lord? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do you remember the wonderful testimonies from the Vineyard National Celebration last week? And if you think about the way Jesus has impacted people's lives around you, thinking of Alison's mum who was healed, and she'll tell that story soon. And you can think of the wonderful people, opportunities where God has stepped into people's lives and rescued them and healed them and restored them. We're surrounded by people with empty lives and empty stomachs, and we're compelled into action by the love of Jesus. We can't, you know, we might be well organized, but we can't do anything without the King whom we serve, who has power and who is willing to save. The church is the primary, though not the sole residence, of God's kingdom rule. We serve a God who has power to save, who has power to change people's lives, and his primary expression of that is through the church. That's why we're gathered together. And we, in this vineyard, hand in hand with the rest of the church, and with the power of his Holy Spirit, will play our part in seeing his kingdom come. We will be able to make a difference, to see the hungry fed, the sick healed, lives transformed, souls saved, as we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. And so I invite you to decide if you want to play. Do you want to join in? Please come and join in the life of the vineyard here. So if you'd like to give that some thought over the next few minutes while we wait for the children to come. And there's some more. Just shove your hand up and I'm sure some helpful person will bring you another blue card if you want one. There's hands going up all over. So. And think about prayerfully about that for a minute, and then when the children come in, I'll lead you in communion. Is it all absolutely clear? It was when I wrote it. Yeah. If you can't, we'd love you to do it today, but if you just can't do it today, then pop it in the post. Or if you just prefer, we'll be mailing all this to anybody we know who isn't here. And there's an email address called invitation@wharfdalevineyard.org, and you can just send your reply in there as well. Just the cards are nice for the people to have. Any other questions? If for anything that you're going to do from today onwards, right, so it doesn't matter what you're doing yesterday, from tomorrow onwards, what you do, which may be exactly the same thing as you're doing yesterday, please fill in a card. Please do a separate card for each of those seven things. Okay? So the maximum you need is seven cards. I think the children are coming. The maximum you need is seven cards. I would counsel you not to do seven things because I don't think you'll have a life left. Okay? Please do one, but you may be able to do two, three, or four. If, especially if you're a prayer, you can maybe pray for everything. But does that make sense? So it's one card for each activity, and prayer, support, and or service. I think it's about to get a little noisy. Let me just pray before they come in, and let's turn our minds towards communion as well. Communion is a sacrament, an opportunity to get straight with God, to receive his forgiveness, his amazing forgiveness, which we can't earn, we can't make happen, we can just receive. So Lord Jesus, as we're about to welcome the children, we are aware of the fact that we need to come to you, as do they. Amen.